to saying I have 4C hair, so you feel negative. Man, let me tell you something about 4C hair. 4C hair is bomb.com. Everything else is limited. And I'm not knocking anybody else who has anything other. 4C hair is like that rough diamond, right? And once you cut that bad boy, that's what people would want. That's what people thrive for. But people don't understand it, so it's frowned upon.
Yes.
4C hair will hold a style. It will hold the lust. It will hold the moisture when done right. And it will be a flowing replica of what is beauty in natural hair.
I have the encouragement to get out there because I can't afford to fail. That's the bottom line. At this point, I can't afford to fail. So when it all boiled down to it, I knew that the products out here that a lot of people are using, it wasn't really doing what the hair needed, especially in the natural world. Because in 2009, that's when it really kind of like morphed into the natural world, right? Mm-hmm. So, and we didn't understand how to do the hair. So we didn't understand the products, and we're buying every marketing product promotion that is meeting the mental need and the desire. But in reality, it's not the need that the hair needs, right? Mm-hmm. So,
welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guest reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready? Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode, I am joined by Milan Jay, who is a master hairstylist, educator, and the owner of, is it Chai Bella? Chai Bella Hair Studios.
I love that so much.
Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Milan.
Well, welcome. Well, I'm going to say welcome. Thank you. I'm talking about some welcome. So used to being on the other end. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. I finally got it right.
I'm so excited to have you too. Because like, I was like, I was trying to remember Chai Bella, because it's like Child Bella.
Yeah, like, it's like Child's Bella. Just the only difference is it's not chi. You like the tea? It's Chai. Actually, I found it from you know, I was like, I didn't want the typical salon name that it just identify us as a specific ethnic group that's operating behind, because we do all textures, right? So yeah. I just discovered, I was like, you know, how I'm gonna come up with a name, and I thought about it, and some just said look for something that means happy, and then I seen Chai, and I was like, what? And then I looked at it. It's actually good energy. It's the second. 22nd star in the constellation, so and it gives positive energy. And also what really sold me on it, I know it don't really make sense because I'm kind of half Asian and half Black, and the urban version of it is that is a seductive Asian woman who typically wears her shirt down with some glasses. I was like, oh, that's it right there, child.
Okay,
I came up with that.
I love the double meaning.
It means beauty, you know. So I didn't want House of Beauty. I wanted like good energy, sister behind there. You know, she's a little Asian, seductive. But that's how it came out. I did all that.
I love all of that. We're going to jump into everything you're doing at Chai Bella, because you're so you're such a busy woman. But before we do that, we're going to do some icebreakers to get warmed up so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you outside of business a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the first one, give us three random facts about you.
Three random facts. Damn, I talk so much. I just don't really have no three random facts. I'm 50. I'm lazy as far as coming down to exercising. I'm really passionate about like doing different things. I don't know the word no.
Okay.
And I gotta shower before I go to bed. A must have.
Got you. So when it comes to no, like,
is that, I
was like, is that in general or just like to certain things?
No, no doesn't really exist. stupidity, dude. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you people are like, oh, I don't accept no's. Like, you know, it's not like you stand in front of somebody like, hey, I'm gonna shoot you, and you be like, no, you're not. You know, not that type of no. You know what I mean? But it's like, why not? Why? Why no has to exist? Is it another option? But if it's
Gotcha.
in my spirit, there is no, because that means it's not the traditional approach. No is just not the way that it's common. It's a yes
Got you.
somewhere.
Got you. Okay.
It
So
might
you
not
don't
be the
take
right
no.
approach, but it's gonna go.
Got you. Okay, I like that. What is the first job that you ever had?
I was a braider at 14.
Nice.
Yeah,
I
I was a
love
braid
that.
at 14. I started I well it, well again I was going to fashion high school, and on the ninth floor, it was 11th floor salon, beauty school, and on the ninth floor it was 9 stalls, and what the girls would do is each one of them would take a stall, and they would bring their client into the stall, which are girls in the school, and they would cut class and do hair. So I was up there watching. So for 3 weeks, I was like, oh my God, they took this and transformed hair. And being able to mimic, I used to stand and just watch. And then I went home and I told my girlfriend, which was my best friend, we went to the same school. I said, let me do your hair. And I tried it. And that's when it started. And I made the little loose leaf notebook. I mean, ripped it all up, put my phone number on there, took some Polaroid pictures, and I went through the neighborhood. And back then, a full box braid was $100. And I was on the corner in the Bronx, showing them my little Polaroid picture that I could do braids. And I was charging $40, and that's how I started my business in my bedroom.
I love that. At 14 years old, I just met a lady yesterday, and she was telling me about her daughter. Her daughter is 16, and just all of the things that she's involved in. I was just so excited for her because I'm like, the fact that she kind of like already has a direction of what she wants to do and is already going after it and making money. I'm like, she's
Right.
on a good track.
Yeah, and the thing about it is, it whatever the drive is, mine's was the creative side that drove me. I didn't think I was gonna do hair. I just liked the fact that out of this being an idea, and then I was able to transform it. The next thing I realized, I was like, oh, I'm getting paid for it. Then money became an interest. You know what I mean? So, and at the age of 14, I was like, when my mother said, hey, you can't do something because I didn't have the money to give it to you, reach in my pocket, and I would keep always leaning anywhere between $100 to $160 at the age of 14. So it's in your fiber. If you got it, you got it. You know what I'm saying? There's people that could be taught how to be entrepreneurs or do things, but when you have it just oozes out your pores. You find a way.
Absolutely. I love that so much. Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have these random stack of cards called pod decks. This
Okay.
is a what the heck and a would you rather. Which one would you like?
Okay. Give me what the heck.
What the heck? I like it. She's going for it. Let's see what it's going to give me now. Oh, this is cute. I've never had this one before. So if you were a villain or criminal mastermind, what would be your calling card?
What?
I think a calling card is like a like how Batman, I'm imagining
If I was
how
a
Batman
villain
has his
and
symbol.
yeah. The
I
hell,
think.
I might as well be. I don't know. That don't even make that. What that question is? What the heck? Because I don't even. It
It
don't even
is a
make
what the
sense.
heck. Oh, I got okay, this one's for you because this is like a
Okay.
real big con like a real controversy for real for some people. It says toilet paper over or under.
Oh, for me, it has to be under. Under. It
That's what
just
it's
looks
meant.
neat because it's tucked in the back.
Can't even see it. Yeah.
I can't see it. It looks like a big old
It's
blur.
like
White.
white.
Yeah, under. But that villain stuff, I don't know. Like if my calling card on the villain, I wouldn't know what that I don't even know. Because I'm not, you know what I'm saying? What would it be?
I think mine would be a makeup brush. I don't know.
I was gonna say the villain part would be for me, like my calling card. I mean, my if I was a villain, a relaxer. A relaxer container. I don't know.
That's
I
funny.
don't know. Because I'm a
That was
yeah.
so funny.
That was like weird.
That's
I
why it's
got
what the heck.
it.
When is the last time that you did something for the first time?
That's always. Because I'm I would probably say because I don't really do much, but I would say the in September, I met my folks. We just started dating, and it was the first time I slept on a boat.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it was a little scary because, you know, I'm it's one of those your mind start playing with you, like a whale come and tip over, like stupid stuff like that. So I really was like, I had to take a drink and go to sleep, and I'm not even a drinker. I mean, and when my drink was, it was just something a little like wine or whatever. But it was just, it wasn't, you know, but it was interesting to sleep on a boat.
Were you like out in the water, like out in the middle of the water or
Yo, girl,
docked?
we were docked, and I still was nervous. I'm still black.
That's really cool. I've never slept on a boat before, except for like a cruise ship. I went on a cruise when I was younger, but never like a yacht or like a private boat or anything like that.
It's, I mean, don't get me wrong, his boat is, he has a nice boat. It's a two bedroom living room, dining room, but it's not like a luxury boat, like you walking up and you like, ooh, it's like, oh, okay, it's, this is cool, this is all right, like, you know, it's not elaborate like that. It's typical nice
Okay.
size. You can stand up in it, you know what I mean, and you can
Okay.
walk around.
I like it. I
But
like
it
it.
was surprising for me. Yeah,
I
so
like it.
that was the first time ever, and something I would have never ever thought I would have, you know, come across or do. It's not my circle of people.
Yeah, I like that. New experiences. I love that for you.
Me too. I liked it for me too. After I got off the boat, I was like, oh, I did that.
What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from hair?
Figuring things out. Again, I think that's just, again, I know when I was receiving the award, acknowledging your gift versus your talent. So the gift, my gift is in repair. So whether that's me tapping into and finding out what the source is and then finding a solution. That's so, and that can go across, whether it's cooking, whether it's emotional need, whether it's I mean, shit, excuse me, I'm good at a lot of stuff that I've discovered. From, you know, and the other thing is, you could be good at something because you're so used to doing it, you don't even realize you're good, or you don't see it the way other people see you. You just do. So I can do carpentry. I did my own custom closet. You know, I think about it, I figure it out, and I do it. That's across the blanket. Now, I wasn't so good in relationships. You know, I was trying to pick up projects, and that's where you got to draw the damn line, you know, but it's in my spirit. So finally, I prayed and got that joint out.
I know that's right.
So that was it.
Okay. So the last one for the icebreakers, if you weren't the owner of Chai Bella Hair Studios, hairstylist and educator, is there anything else you could see yourself doing?
No.
I know that's right. She's like, this is it.
Yeah, this is it. It's been me my whole life.
You don't have any other like
Other thing I can do
entrepreneurial,
is, huh?
you don't have any other entrepreneurial dreams?
But I'm an entrepreneur across the board. So other than hair, I do everything that I do is hair related. Or I mean, I did want to open my own design, my own shoe line. But I don't even know how to make shoes. I just wanted my own shoe line. But you know, that's just a thought. But I don't think I know anything other than being an entrepreneur. But with hair, it's the bridge, because you go, you know, it just opens everything up from there. I have a woman support group. I don't think I told anyone that, but I have a woman support group. It's called Sisters Breaking Bread. That probably would be my biggest project. It's about really breaking and removing the mask. So it's not really motivational speaking, it's transformational. It's lifetime.
Okay, I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. Yes, thanks for sharing with us. So I've recently met Milan in person at the BICA DMV Awards. I was like, that's her. I'm about to go up and talk to her. So what did you what I was
You
there, girl. What did you get your award in again?
Hair products.
Got you.
Yeah,
Hair
black hair
products.
products.
Got you. When did you start doing hair products?
COVID.
Nice.
Crazy, right? I've always wanted hair products because I wanted it for the purpose of money, right? I mean, I'm being real. And I'll tell you why. It was being a single mom, and it's just like the amount of money that we spend in products. And it just was like, it's a no-brainer, but where I really wanted to get into my products was, since 1997, I moved into a rural area and I opened my salon out there. And I realized that a lot of people was doing their own hair. So what happened? They damaged their hair with the relaxers. And some of these clients were patients of cancer survivors or still getting treatments and other autoimmune deficiencies that came across, like, you know. So I was doing a lot of work, but what I had to do was relax their hair to damage it. And then I would come up with all of these home remedies to kind of repair their scalp or try to get the hair reconditioned and blah, 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 blah. So, so I've been making concoctions from my grandmother from the South and my mom, and then being Asian, you mix all of these little things and you don't realize you were doing something different back then. And so when it all boiled down to it, I knew that the products out here that a lot of people were using, it wasn't really doing what the hair needed, especially in the natural world. Because in 2009, that's when it really kind of like morphed into the natural world, right? Okay. So, and we didn't understand how to do the hair. So we didn't understand the products, and we're buying every marketing promotion that is meeting the mental need and the desire, but in reality it's not the need that the hair needs, right? So then that's when I was like, I gotta come up with something. So fast forward, COVID happened, no money was being made, and I'm real spiritual. I mean, I can't recite a scripture in a book, but I know I have a connection. And and I said, you know, being out in Bowie, I was like, I've come across a great deal of clients that was dealing with alopecia and the hair drying, so on and so on. And then I'm seeing all of these natural products and I'm like, oh, I can make this natural product. I just got to know how to do it. So I went to YouTube University and I went and I'm seeing all of these different concoctions, and it dawned on me. Take a little bit of this, and with my knowledge of herbs and my knowledge of roots, with my knowledge of oils, I know that I have a luxury line, and I'm a luxury brand. So I need to have certain things of a certain deliverance and a certain result. And then I prayed on it, and lo and behold, I had one word that came to me in my vision, which was consistency. And it's amazing when you have vision, it comes to you and you have a whole story. So consistency, I knew exactly what I needed to do. So what I did was I gathered up a powerhouse and I ordered about $2,100 worth of herbs. And you know how much that is? That's a big, huge bin. I have herbs, butters. And then I ordered another $100 worth of just sampling out different oils, right? So, and I just sat there and I just started throwing stuff together. All of these herbs either have the key component that's going to either stimulate, exfoliate, or hydrate, and, you know, dehydrate for the people who. So you just got to kind of like say, okay, I got 8 categories, and each category, the main ingredient, and then one will have other benefits and other benefits. Then you take out of the 8, 5 of the key ingredients that's going to be aligned. You create this herb. So that's why it's multiple herbs in my products and stuff like that. And that's what it came up. And so when I pulled it together, the consistency was stimulating, hydrating, exfoliating when necessary. And the exfoliant part is not really, it wasn't really like, this is how it started. Like I said, exfoliating. And I think that was, of course, with all the other benefits, strengthening, proteins, and moisture. So those were the 5 things, and I pulled into it, and I created this one butter. The butter was supposed to be in a mask. Okay. And then I was like, okay, well, like let me try this. Yeah. Okay. So because, like I said, it was the exfoliating. So in my mind, exfoliate the scalp and all of this stuff. So I came up with the butter. And when I did the butter, it was a braiding spa that I opened up. So I had another location in Crofton, which I still do. I was focusing on my natural girls that just getting protective styles. I know, like I said, it's a billion things. So this is, you know, so, and that was my first ingredients. So I was like, okay, protect the braids, hydrate the scalp with nothing but all of these natural ingredients so the hair can be prepared, because that hair that we add into our hair actually is covered with formaldehyde, which sometimes the chemical gets released, which is causes the hair to break. People have allergic reactions. They're itching, blah, 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 blah. So our natural hair is already dry as it is. So if you're using over-the-counter products to put these braids in, you're really adding more alcohol. So your hair's looking more dull. And you're also noticing that the hair is coarse. And then also it adds to the shedding. And then your ends become more straggly. So I had the product, I did the mask and did all of that. And then this, when I realized it really did well, I also did came up with the black shampoo at Clarifier. So I did that with my herbs and butters and all that as well, mix it in. Then I came up with the actual shampoo. And we did a spa treatment service for the braiders. So when it really came to, I hit on something, this one lady, she was going away and she has real bad psoriasis. But she was like, I need the braids because blah, blah, blah. You know, what we do. I get my braids. I don't want to keep saying, I'm like, I'm on the phone, blah, blah, blah. So she was like, I can't get my hair braided for too long, but my psoriasis typically allow me to have it like 3 days and I need something with no real tension. So we did the knotless braids, but I gave her, I said, look, I need you to sample this out for me. I think it will work for you. She had her braids in for 8 weeks. She said, whatever you did, and her hair was soft and conditioned during the whole process. Wow. So she said she didn't even have a flare up. She was like, what is it that you use? And that's when it changed for me.
That's incredible.
And so it caused me to evolve and try different stuff and things like that. So I have an oil. I have a facial serum, which is also an for the scalp. All of my stuff is for the scalp, but it morphs into the skin as well, so you can use it on your face. So I did the mask, which is the hydrating butter. Then I did a bamboo butter, which helps with the eczema. So it taught me how to separate it. And when I was able to separate and put one group with one group with another, and it's all stems from those five things that I came up with. And mainly all of the herbs have burdock root in it. So burdock root is a powerhouse food, y'all. Like, if you don't know, make tea that cleans your blood. It helps fight a lot of stuff. Like I said, I'm 50. I feel better now besides my thyroid count being recently a little low, and I am playing on it. You hear me? I'm like, oh, my thyroid is low, so I'll be asleep. Everything is like, oh, mommy, can you just, oh, my thyroid count is low. So, you know, this is my time right there. That's how I came up with my product line. And it just, and see, when it's for you, it happens fast. I'm not a chemist. You know, right. Thank God for YouTube. I was like, oh, that is absolutely a no-no. Oh, yes, that's great. So I learned from the 36 years of being in this industry, at least understand understand what's not to do and what made me good, right? And I was incorporating that with their knowledge, so I'm grateful for them, for their errors and their actual, you know, great information, because they give you a lot. But one thing I will say, completely across YouTube, I see maybe about 80 to 85% is so much wrong information on natural hair, and it's so sad. And this is also coming from professionals as well.
Yeah, got you.
You know, so it's just like, damn, there's an industry. So with my book, it's called The Black Bible, The Black Hair Bible. It's going to break down herbs. It's going to break down understanding your texture, truly, because it is not in that 4B, 4C, AC, all of that stuff.
Somebody one day. I was like, why does everybody have 4C hair? Like, why is that's all, like the only one you hear?
Them is considered, we don't know what the hell it is. That's really what it is. So you tap into saying I have 4C hair, so you feel negative. Man, let me tell you something about 4C hair. 4C hair is bomb.com. Everything else is limited. And I'm not knocking anybody else who has anything other. 4C hair is like that rough diamond, right? And once you cut that bad boy, that's what people would want. That's what people thrive for. But people don't understand it, so it's frowned upon. 4C hair will hold a style, it will hold the lust, it will hold the moisture when done right, and it will be a flowing replica of what is beauty in natural hair. But we don't identify it that way because there's too many different strands. It's about 20 to 30, 40 different textures. We can't pull it down. So of course we're confused. This is one area that we don't understand, which is natural hair. We don't understand it. And we haven't been taught it. So we're figuring it out. It, again, when you've been led spiritually, the answer's right in front. What's you? What's, can you hear me now? Yeah, what's for you will be available for you with ease. But if you have to tap into it, if you put, like I said, I put God first. So, and, you know, and there's a lot of people, but I grew up Buddhist. You know, I grew up Buddhist, and my mom practiced, like, can't do anything without God. But it's like, I didn't understand all of that. But I realized having a relationship and really tapping into seeking certain things first, everything else will follow, because what, where your skills are, your gifts are, your talents are, those are the things that's already aligned. You just got to tap into it, do it, and watch how it works. That's why they say operating in your purpose, operating your gift. And then your talent is just helps assist it.
Yeah, yeah. So over the last 30 plus years of being a hairstylist, you were just focusing on actual service and having salons. You didn't have any products at all?
Heck no, I borrow for everything we use. And I was, and let me think. I wasn't focused on doing anything. Just, I had salons. I was a young girl and I just opened a business. I was focused on paying my bills. So I was a workaholic. I just opened, the more I did was out of survival.
Yeah.
So I couldn't think about growing my brand. I couldn't think about, I was just trying to get to a happy place in my life. So, and because I'm not a good employee, I knew that I could not work for anybody. Not because I was just difficult. I call BS and don't have a, I don't have a filter. So, and if it don't make sense, like, I couldn't work in corporate. I'll be in subordination in a heartbeat.
Right, they'd be writing you up every week.
Every week. And I'd be like, what is she saying?
Hey, I have a serious question for you. You trust me, right? Yes? I heard you say yes, right? You heard them say yes, right? Okay, listen. If you said yes and you have a product or service-based business that you want to expose to a loyal and engaged audience, then consider letting me share your business here on the Friends of Beauty podcast. Studies have shown that podcast listeners tend to trust the host, making the advertising messages more authentic and credible. And my favorite part, which a lot of people don't know, is the longevity. Unlike traditional ads that have a limited lifespan and disappear after your budget has been exhausted, my podcast episodes are available indefinitely. This means that your ad will continue to reach new listeners long after the initial episode airs. And you already know my consistency is off the chain. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. And as the Friends of Beauty podcast continues to grow, your brand will continue to reach a new audience. That's how it works here. So don't wait any longer. I want to expose your brand to my friends in beauty. All you have to do is click the link below with all of the details and we can make it happen. Anyways, let's go ahead and get back to the episode.
So what was it that changed for you that led you from just being like in survival mode to like thriving and not doing it just because you're trying to survive?
Last year.
Last year?
Last year. No, survival mode, I mean, honestly, what changed, okay, I started doing hair when I was 14, and my biggest support system was my mom. So 16, she was murdered. My dad died in an airplane crash when I was 3, so I really didn't have that type of support, but I had a grind, and my mom was always allowing me to do what I needed to do, and I needed something to anchor me, and I was like the only child, even though I had a brother. I wind up having my son to fulfill the void, and then after that, I had 3 more kids, so they became my reason, and that's why survival was a bit much, because I was out here grinding with no, you know, I had a support system, but it wasn't people just dropping money in my pocket. Like, I was able to either leave my kids at home and say, y'all figure it out, mommy will be back. So I sacrificed being around to pay the bills, you know what I'm saying? But it wasn't until 2016, 17, I would say, you know what, I've been like a running gerbil in that little cycle, grinding, 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 grinding. Credit go up and down, you know, to a point where it's like I was getting stuff out of favor because my credit was just three dots, right? So, and I wouldn't go, I would walk in there and have the nerve to be choosy, like I had choices. It'd be like denial. Like, where's a buy here, pay here? You know what I mean? So that's how it really got. But anyway, so that's just been my life. I'm not afraid of it. But I got tired in 2017, 2018. And I said, you know what? Oh, I got to do something different. So I was like, hella hot waters. I got to go back into opening a salon. And I sat and I saw it. And I was like, you know what? You have all the knowledge to really run the salon correctly and know how to get the doors open and you know what you need. So it was all about timing, and it was the right timing. And that's when I did. Now, granted, what I am is, like I said, the nose, I had $187 and my FICO score was like maybe 580. So I couldn't go anywhere. I do have a great network, because they sell you, your level of network can help determine your level of success, right? So I have a very lucrative network. Networking group. So anyway, so we reached out. One of them was like, "No, whatever you want to do, I got you." And that was like my place sister. Big, she's a big, big head. What they call it? Not big head, big wig, big head. She, big wig out here. And so I had the encouragement to get out there because I can't afford to fail. That's the bottom line. At this point, I can't afford to fail. So I went out there, and I'm, like I said, I don't do nose. So mind you, remember I said $187 and my FICO score was at that time 580. So I walked up, it was 2 weeks in, I found three locations and she was in the midst of something. She was like, sis, let's, you know, you're moving kind of fast. Let's like, let's think about what's going to cost to get in the door. And I'm looking at the phone like, what do you mean? Then I can make this happen, you know? And then again, last shot was all within 2 weeks. Now I found so many different locations, but the last one I was like, some just said, turn left, boom, look at this building. I was like, oh, this used to be a barbershop. Looked inside the barbershop. It was completely empty. It was an empty parking lot. And I was like, this is what I want. I want a little house. I was like, oh my God, I got to find the owner. This dude comes from the corner and I'm looking at him. He looking at me. He was like, are you looking for the barbershop? I said, no, I'm looking for the owner. You know how I can get a hold of the owner? He said, I'm the owner. He said, I was just sitting here. He was like, he still had the tag and title, but it was just closed. He said, I was just sitting here. And I was like, yeah. So we talked and boom, I made the phone call to her. And I was like, this is where we are. Good girl, got all the logistics. This is great. I could go and make this happen. She said, oh my God, that is perfect. And I said, yes. She said, okay, let's schedule an appointment in 2 weeks. I looked at that phone in 2 weeks. I said, okay, right. So I said, okay, sis. I said, okay, I'll talk to you later. And she was like, okay, boom. I hung up with my little cell phone. I went back and I said, you know, I told you I had a business partner. He said, yeah. I said, I don't have a business partner no more. I said, but I am the talent, but I don't have credit or money. Can we work something out? I was stunned. And he was like, I said, you got to go with the spirit. Go with the spirit. And that's how we, and girl, he went with the spirit. Guess what? I got that spot.
I love it. I love it.
So, yes, I did that. And I did that again in the second spot because in 2 years, I was proud of myself because the first year I went from making $38,000 just being at home in the basement. And then I was just like, okay, because I gave up the suite. I just didn't want another salon because 2012, I opened up the salon. Then 2014, I closed that because partnership can drive you crazy. Okay. Then 2014, decided that I was going to work in the house, put the money into the basement, which I was renting. I converted the man's salon without his permission, and work from home. And then that's when I was like, where my $35,000, I needed more. It was fine just to stay there. Yeah. And then after that, I went into the salon, I opened it, got the keys. I made like $56,000 the first year. You couldn't tell me nothing. I had two stations. At the end of the year, I had seven stations. And at that following year, I think that was 2018 when I got the doors, and 2019 taxes, I did like 200 and something thousand. Wow. How the hell you go from 50,000 to 200 some thousand? So you couldn't tell me nothing. I was so
from the basement to a whole
right. Situation. And then COVID hit, it got real. It got real. And that's when the birth of the products came. I bought my house. I mean, when I say I was out there, it took me 5 months to close on my house. And I'm also a real estate agent.
Okay.
So, and it took me 5 months to close my house. So when I got the nod the first time, and I was like, the owners were still working with me in a very hot market. I said, you know what? This house is mine. It's mine. And there's a story to it why I felt like it was mine. Because when I first bought my first house when I was 19, I put $20 down and it took a year to close. And I paid for it cash with my mom's settlement and everything. But it was just the way the process was. This happened the same way. So I knew the house was for me.
Yeah.
And then so after that, it was just like, okay. Then after COVID, I said, you know what? They opened the doors. And from me going viral on videos and Facebook, that's when I became globally recognized. So I taught people from here all the way to Kenya how to care for their hair. And I said, yo, this is a need. People really don't understand their hair. And people are loving me across the globe. And I'm just giving them basic information. I mean, if I go on and say, hey, get this, it used to sell right out off of, you know, of course my page got hacked though. My page got hacked. I think Facebook did it though, real talk.
Right.
I think Facebook
she's spreading
did.
The good word. We about to show you.
Like, she went around. I ain't gonna mess on it. Yeah, Facebook. Let me tell you. All right, listen. I'm just playing Facebook. I'm on, you know, because I'm back on now.
That's really cool though, because a lot of people, I think it's a lot of people haven't seen their natural hair before until they're like adults. So that's why it's like little information out there and little like information on how what to do with it, because they can't go to their parents and ask, because they don't know either.
It's real simple. It's real simple. And because you said it, a lot of people, because they haven't been exposed, they have been controlling their hair, whether it's chemical verse, you know, just or braids or whatever the case be. But natural hair is very delicate. It's extremely delicate when done right, right? My hair looks so beanie. When it's done right, it's extremely delicate, but it just needs protein. It needs moisture. Those are the key things. And it also needs proper manipulation, right? And one of the biggest myths that is completely, I don't know, the understanding of trimming when it's necessary to do a trim. People say every 6 to 8 weeks so your hair can grow.
Mm-hmm.
That is so not the case. We trim our clients once every 6 months to a year, if that.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's if you think about it, this dude, numbers don't lie, right? So if you hypothetically are growing up to a quarter of an inch to a half an inch, and we say a quarter because it depends on how much moisture or how much oil your hair produces will dictate how fast your hair grows. Mm-hmm. And most of the time we put way too much oil or oils on our scalp, which we should not. It sends the wrong signal to the bulb that won't produce sebum. So you actually make your scalp even more dry, then the hair becomes even more dry. It's just layers of stuff, right? So when you have that, then you also can start having scalp issues like dandruff, dry scalp, even develop psoriasis, and in some cases, eczema. It depends on where your autoimmune deficiencies and your diet will play a role in how that comes about. But I said that to say all that. There's so much stuff. Okay, so back to the trim. So if you're only growing about a quarter of an inch, hypothetically, which most of us is between a quarter of an inch to under, between a quarter of an inch or slightly under a half an inch, if you're under regular condition. You go to a stylist and you get that once a month. You go to a stylist and she cuts your hair in 2 months. She cuts more than a half an inch. Mm-hmm. So you might notice it's like, oh, my ends, my hair isn't growing. Or it's kind of like stagnant at some point, and you're just like, I can't get my hair to grow, but she constantly got cutting the ends. So if she's constantly cutting the ends, you are no longer getting a trim. You're getting a haircut to maintain the length.
Right.
Because if you're cutting a half an inch, but you only grow a quarter of an inch, you're cutting into your actual length.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to understand your client. You have to know if your client hair grows and what time it grows and how fast it grows. If you're constantly getting a trim for the most part and your ends are looking straggedy, two things could be taking place. You and your stylist both are handling your hair wrong. If you're taking the hair and you're combing it from roots to end, you are causing popping, which then causes the unevenness in the bottom, right? And then if you're using that pick to comb out the hair, what do you think that is? Wet hair, picking it midway and stripping it and pulling it and yanking it. So when your stylist is detangling you from the ends to the roots, she's maintaining your length. She's maintaining the integrity of your hair because she's not popping unnecessary hair. So your density will look consistent. And your hair is supposed to be staggered because your hair grows in tiers. So reasons why we say, okay, like prime example, like mine looks staggered right now, right? It looks crazy right now, but when I blow out my hair, it's all straight and even. But this is in its natural stage. So the average stylist is like, oh, girl, you need to cut this because this is where your density is. Understand tearing, because hair grows every single day as it sheds every single day. It may not grow in the same area every single day. So when you spread your hair, you'll see tears of different layers, because if the hair all fell out at the same time, we would be bald.
Okay.
You know, so the trimming in every 8 to 10 weeks, I mean every 6 to 8 weeks, is really only to maintain your length, to maintain the style, and to maintain the shape. That's an upkeep.
I know a lot of people had an aha moment with that. They're like, dang, I've been doing it all wrong, but that's what Milan is here for.
I'm getting into beef. Stylists be mad at me. But if, like I said, you do the math. And the other misconception is the like as we quote the clients who have more of a kinky curl, when they pull out their hair, you know how the ends look a little rough? And they be like, oh my God, my ends are split. That ain't split ends. Why would it be split? Split ends normally comes from some form of autoimmune deficiency if it's impacting your hair, right? But chemicals, colors, with bleaching, that will cause the hair, might to cause some typically split ends. But if you have natural hair, why would it be split? People, it is your blueprint. It is your fingerprint of your curl pattern. When you stretch your hair out, you have the most tension right midway. So from root to end, you can get it straighter. And then the ends, there's nothing holding it at the end. So you'll see the zigzag. And a lot of times people cut that. That is just where your cuticles is mainly showing. And then if you seal it, it takes about 6 to 8 visits or 6 to 8 weeks, if you depend on how often you're visiting your stylist or know how to properly care for your hair. You slowly bend the cuticles so it kind of has a little memory. And that's why people say your hair is trained. The ends of the hair, like if I could show as bad as my hair might look crazy, if you look at the ends of each one of my hair, you can't see that joint. Where's the mirror? Oh, there's the camera. There it is. You see, like, the ends of my... Where?
It disappeared now.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait. This is a joint. This is why I don't do live. Because you see my... Can you see the ends of my... It's not
I can see
split.
It a little bit.
It ain't split, bottom line. You know, that's when I can't hold
Look,
up the
phone. I'm so happy I have locks, because I'm just like, I cannot even imagine having to... fathom all of this stuff. I just let my
now,
hair do
with
it. This.
Locks, your locks are beautiful, but also with locks, you have to hydrate your locks.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is, like, you don't have to deal with all of the day-to-day maintenance, but you still have to maintain your roots, and you have to maintain the flexibility of your locks. And having soft, beautiful, shiny locks is a perk. Because what I cannot stand is, like, having someone have done all this commitment and their locks look dry, because no one has informed that you don't want to build it up with all that product. You want movement. You want it to be soft. This is going to be against your skin. And it's not to be, you know, that's even with myself. We walk outside, you know, and we walk into a store, there's dead skin and stuff blowing everywhere. It goes in our hair. And in our bed, we shed dead skin. I didn't know that until I seen this bed commercial, and I was disgusted. Not that I, you know what I'm saying? Don't ask me. I didn't change a thing. I just know I'm laying on dead skin because I'm not buying no shampoo for the bed, right?
Every
but
day.
But the reality is like, you know, it's all in our hair. We collect a lot of outside elements. So with locks, it requires even more, because if it's we can wash through our
hair. It's embedded in there.
It's embedded, right?
Yeah.
But see, they put a lot of products. I find that it will make it a little bit more like a magnet. And then, you know, so you just always want to hydrate, have that little flexibility. So you can kind of, when you wash it, you got some movement and you can kind of really get through. And of course, detoxing is amazing for it, you know? So
I
definitely
did that
detox.
recently. Got like a little detox, and my hair literally was like squeaky, like
And that's, you
squeaky.
have to squeak the hair. You have to, natural hair, whether it's locks, whether it's regular, you know, non-chemical hair. You have to use you have to use clarifier, right? And I know a lot of people used to do the cold wash because they don't want to, man,
Oh, yeah.
that's completely a no-no. It's just so much. It's so much. Like, it's
It
so
is a
sad.
lot.
It is a
It
lot.
is a lot.
It's a lot of information that is just not informing. People are doing so much for. I mean, we can go through it all day long. I could give a whole list. You got to clarify first, get that squeak. And Italian products, guys, Italian products is for natural hair. It works the best. Quality Italian product. Like, we sell it on our website. The line that I've been using since 1997, it is an Italian line. They really produce, but you want to invest into quality product. Reason being is that when they do these hair products, they test it in the origin that is you know, the factory's from. So you got to know if this is being tested on German texture or Italian texture. Whose hair is similar to ours? Italian. Italian. So once we say, okay, this particular product line is a luxury line and it is made to hydrate the hair, and it's an Italian line, the chances of you getting your hair truly hydrated, it will give you the result you're looking for. You might have to tweak within the instructions a little bit because sometimes they might shampoo their hair a little bit more frequently than us, you know, but you have to have an understanding. But if you look at a lot of the products that have been on the market that caters to us, it's either too heavy, makes the hair wave, and it looks greasy, or it just doesn't work. How many wet and go custards you gonna have that doesn't give you the wet and go look unless it's crunchy? But if you find you an Italian line that do wet and go, guess what? You're gonna have a nice little softer curl.
Yeah, how do you feel about like just the products that are marketed towards people of color, but like aren't owned by people of color, specifically like in the beauty supply stores and stuff?
Feel like I honestly, truth be told, my thing is they're monopolizing on a business opportunity because we don't have information and we don't really, and we buy into what's being sold. You know what I mean? It's no different, real talk. It's no different than saying, I'm gonna go buy me Louis Vuitton. Louis don't like me, but I'm gonna get it because I like it, right? So I'm not, from a business side, if someone's gonna buy my product and they're not gonna question it, and if anything, just keep it in their vanity. They're not gonna YouTube it and talk and bash my company. They're not making enough noise for me to make a change and say, "Oh, let me lean in my lane. Let me go back on my side of town." They're just changing name and add some muscle. This is a $1 billion industry, multi-billion-dollar industry. We're the biggest consumers in the hair industry. We're the biggest consumers, period. You
That's
know,
so true.
so they're just getting a piece of the pie. I ain't mad at a business person seeing an opportunity. Because whether you're black, whether you're of any other ethnicity, if the product work, it works. But even if I probably have more problem with you being African American selling a product that doesn't work.
But you should
So
know it
what are
don't
you doing?
work.
Like, where are you doing your research? Have you tried it on your auntie's hair? You know what I'm saying? You got a whole family line that you could try and see if it works on them. So my thing is, what is your excuse? And I get it, they don't get it, but the gut, the money is the same color. So I think I have more problems with that.
What has been working for you as far as successful marketing for your products?
Word of mouth. Word of mouth. I tried the social media. What I realized, this is what social media is big, but it takes one wrong thing or somebody want to troll, and it takes you completely. I'm thick-skinned, but I realized that when I went global, I was loved just as much as I was loved in the marketing aspect. I found that people love being miserable. My like the products, I'm a upscale salon, and I'm not just saying I'm upscale because I'm upscale. I'm upscale because of the products that I use are very damn expensive. And the other thing about it is that you paying for what I'm giving you. I hit to the source and I'm gonna get you from here to there within minutes, technically. And then your hair will get healthier over the visits, but you will have instant results of something drastic. So you're paying for that, right? What I find that in the marketing, when I speak, when I spoke about it, you have somebody say, well, why are you charging this? And this is, I don't care. Why are you upset about, you know, I'm not here for your affordability. Either you want it, you want it, you don't want it, I can offer it, right? We pay for what we want. And I think my strategy marketing, it really, really, like, you can offer the service, people want it, and they come in. And because I am a sister, I get challenged. And that's my biggest thing. So I don't want to market to just say, oh, you're looking for a style. You're not going to guarantee the type of client you want or need. So I can offer the picture of taking a person from here to there. Then you got to change the mindset. It's drained. But exposure, letting the salon, you know, letting us know, hey, we exist here. You know, you hit the little social media, but I used to really get on social media and talk about what I offer. And then it just kind of went left and people just want to fight it. Yeah. But I think they take it. You know what I'm saying? What is the saying? When the crown, when the queen is teaching you something, her crown is crooked. Don't tell her she's crooked. Whatever the saying was, I don't know. But, you know, so that right there, it was just like, what the heck? Y'all just miserable. So I just allow my work. Like, you can go to a cookout, and if you see my client at a cookout, her hair is going to look different than anybody in the humidity. Even when it swells, she has a lustful shine, and she doesn't swell like a Q-tip.
I know that's right.
So it speaks for itself, you know, and it was just like, and you know, but I probably love the most is when a client that left you because you're too expensive and she's at the cookout and she's looking at your client.
And her hair is looking like a Q-tip.
You get what you're paying for. You know, it's just like, it is what it is. But marketing is like word of mouth, the, you know, your walking bulletin of your clients literally is looking amazing, you know, and people are going to pull over. Hey, where did you get your hair from? You know, who's doing your hair? I get that a lot. And I always say they'll come when they come. If they really want it, they'll come. You know,
how you managing production now?
What you say?
How are you managing the production of all the products now?
Oh, it's hard now because with the salon having, I have 20 employees, and it always fluctuate because some people are different, right? So between 20 employees and training, because this is still a new location, so we expanded. It made it a little difficult for me because I make the product, so I'm at a point now. I might have to consider doing some other. I think the controlling side of me is like, I need to touch and feel this product. Because it's an amazing product. It literally, it's like, I think it's the next thing because it literally can heal cuts. It literally takes away eczema. It literally stops psoriasis. Can't just put that in anybody's hand. You know? So needless to say, shoot, production's a little slow. It's a you request it, I'm gonna get it to you. If I'm not, you know, I make about 40-50 butters, and my 40 the butters itself will probably sell out within the first month. And these are $90 butters, but they last 6 months. They don't transfer, they're not super shiny, but they're perfect for certain needs. My liquid gold is great for someone who's experiencing abnormal shedding. Will stop it instantly and hydrate your scalp. And you can use it for a face serum to make your foundation nice and dewy. So it's just a lot of benefits to it. And then I have my flaxseed heat protectant. And that one is doing pretty well. That one's easy because I can make a big bulk. It's marshmallow root, Of course, the flaxseed, and then all of the combinations of the herbs that crushed fruits that's cooked with the oil and that's blended. So you got to shake it for this liquor gold. When I say it's amazing, it's amazing. Then I have my other product that, so the liquid ones are much easier. It's the butters that take me time because the oils, I let it cook. The herbs have to sit about 48 hours. So it
Okay.
takes several days to make the butter the way I make it.
Okay, I love that. You mentioned something earlier too about your brand being like luxury. I know a lot of people want their like aim to have luxury clientele, a luxury experience, but like aside from just like the products that you have and the price point of it being luxury, like what other ways could you suggest people position themselves in that way if they want to have a luxury brand?
Well, you definitely, aesthetic plays the role. Having aesthetics is going to set the tone because that's what people is going to see first. Then you have to have your culture represents luxury, right? So if you can't say I want a luxury brand and I'm selling this, but they're the people in there don't represent what you're doing because you're just buying into talent. So everybody has same language, everybody has to have the same passion. But the most important thing is the energy. So people think you go to the salon and we're getting a, you know, it's an experience. It's not the experience. The experience is the second thing. It's the energy first, then that feeds into the experience, and then you walk out with whatever it is that you leave from that point. But yeah, the energy is definitely will set the tone because you can have a basic setting and you can have one beautiful chair, one beautiful sink, one beautiful this, and a gold and white. That could be luxury if it's done right. But you gotta act like this is where you are. You set the bar based on your you set the tone. Come to work, like you walk into our salon, the girls are dressed. I love seeing my I have a different age range. I tell them all the time, shampoo assistants, if you want to come with a t-shirt, black pants on, your tips will impact how you look. You look like the help. But if you're going to give you a little bit more respect because people respect the one that respect their profession. So if I'm coming to you for fashion, you know, if you come to me and I'm talking about my hair care, hair specialist, and my hair is really looking like how I look today, you might say, oh, she got thick hair. She still got some left. You got to justify why I look like this to sit in my chair. But if I'm representing fashion class and my hair is on point, you're going to say, she money.
Yeah.
You
It's
set the bar.
automatically the perception.
I have people walk in and say, oh, no, this might be an arm and a leg. Thank you. Because this is a help, helps filters from the beginning. That's aesthetics is really like this room that you see in my background. This is our little braiding room. We even with the details with that, like white and gold, it looks like you're gonna go in there and you're gonna get a better experience. Not a soul sat in there yet, but it gives you a whole lot of visual. Because I just did a couple months ago, and I had like I said, I got 16 stations that, you know, they double up on the one side and stuff. 16 or 17, 19 stations. I'm tripping. And then we
Nice.
just three, you know, so now I got more stations. But at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, ain't nobody using it because everybody else is filled up there. But they love the setting. They're like, oh, if I go in there, do I get special treatment? People start putting their own thought because you set the bar. So I think that's how you can change. You don't need to have a whole lot of stuff, you just need the right appearance and the energy.
I
And then
love
match,
that.
and please be talented. That's, you know what I'm saying? Don't have my hand looking like that. Don't understand something about honey. That's it. That's it right there.
This is it. I didn't invest in the talent. I invested in the aesthetic, but I can't do no hair.
Absolutely. So, that's, I mean, because, you know, you can walk into Neiman Marcus because you know the name is expensive. But if you look at the clothes, if you walk into Macy's, clothes, you know, besides going into the top designer, you're gonna know that. I mean, I can still get Michael Kors and Neiman Marcus, but I'm gonna get their couture line. Automatically know you're gonna spend more. So you got to create your brand that this is what you represent.
I
We have
love it. Where are your salons? You said Bowie, but where in Bowie are you?
Maryland, and then I have a little small one in Crofton, which is an overflow salon. I rent that one out now.
Are you like close to the town center?
I'm in the town center.
You're in the town center. Got you.
I'm in the town center. I'm in the town center. I'm in front of my salon.
Okay.
I don't know how to do it.
I had to pull up on you one day. I'm like 30 minutes, probably like 30 minutes from there. Maybe.
Yeah, come on by. It's like a big old Trabella natural hair studio. Right on top. I'm right next to Barnes & Noble and right between Claire's. Claire's hardly opens, but Barnes & Noble. And I'm across the street from, who is this place? Men's Warehouse, and I think that's DSW. Or Broadway. Okay. No. Look, I don't even know who I'm at. I just walk and go to work.
Right, I just go to work. Who are my neighbors? I don't know. I love this. Before you go, I would love to know, like, just because you've been in the industry for so long, have you ever thought about what your legacy is going to be, or whatever you want your legacy to be for Trabella and the products?
I think the biggest regret that I probably have now that I understand what I want to do is that I didn't really like chokehold my kids and put them in the business. You know what I mean? I was like, oh, do what you want. Because I've created such a brand that this could be generational money. And so I got my granddaughter, and hopefully that, and I can see she has it in her. The legacy that I would like to have is that besides this location, we're going to have multiple locations, and of course the product line and the education and all that stuff. And we also open in a school. And then of course, like I said, I want my brand to be recognized as the chick that changed the hair game, you know. So and money will chase wherever money will come, but yeah. I want my children to see the value or be able to leave this in a way where that they can continue on, and hopefully having the school and being able to at this point employ my entire family and set them up where they're not starting from the bottom, but they're all gonna. My four kids, you know, they are what they are, but I got the opportunity to try to work with my grandchildren.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's in hope that they continue what I started.
Yeah, I like that. That's what grandkids are for. You can nurture them all the way up.
Absolutely. I mean, after they mess it up, I don't know if they hook up by that time, I'm gone. But I ain't watch them mess my business up.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking about Renz, because he got an award too, and Renz started his empire basically from his father passing away, and he, you know, basically inherited the salon, and now he has Salon Renz, he got the Sweets by Renz, he got Bundles by Renz, and whatever else that he decides to do, but it all started from him growing up in the salon, his father passed, he took it over, and now he's been running with it ever since.
Yeah, and like my youngest granddaughter, well, she's on my only granddaughter, but she's 4, and I say to her the whole time, I said, baby, what you gonna be? She said, a boss baby. I said, because what a boss baby do? She said, make money. And that's what you put it in their hair. That's what she said, I can make money. So a teacher said, what do you want to be when I grow up? She said, I want to be a boss baby because I make money. And it, okay. So they was like, she's her grandmother's child.
I love it, boss baby, yes. So is there anything else, Milan, that's coming up for you that you could share?
We are on the process of, I think Duris mentioned, you know, when he kind of hinted about the reality show. So definitely it's a positive hair industry reality show. It's more so tapping into the audience of I would say your regular clients who really have issues, and it taps into how we deal, you know. I don't like all that drama stuff, but so, you know, but that's what we're still working on, all the details. And the other thing is my other book is coming out. I do have a memoir out now. I did a memoir because of my woman support group, but I have another book that's coming out, and then of course the book for the Black Hair Bible. And I do have another product on the table, and we're eventually gonna remarket everything, and that's it.
Okay. For now, that's gonna keep you busy enough. Busy lady. Yeah. You already busy already.
Yeah, stay busy. Oh yeah, and next year 2025 we're either gonna be in Texas or Florida is our next location, and I'm also looking to open up Silk Press Express.
These
products, but you know, you're not gonna, you know, you're gonna get blown out, so present, say, baby, that's okay, you good. It's not, you're not going in with the experience, you're going in with a budget.
I love it.
What's the budget?
I love it. Well, before you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions.
Okay.
So whatever comes to your mind, can spit it out. If you need to elaborate, that's fine. So the first one is, what are the top three keys to your success so far?
Determination, sacrifice, and lack of fear.
Mm-hmm. You are fearless, okay? Just that story you told me about the guy at the barbershop and all that. That's fearless right there.
Girl, that's I'm like, why not?
Yes, yeah, second one.
Really,
what'd you say?
Who's going to check me?
Who's going to check you?
Today it's just going to be like, no. Okay, well, you're going to find another way. Because you say no don't mean it's no.
Right, that's not the final answer.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
I like that.
But don't be afraid.
Second one, how do you measure your success?
By my happiness.
Okay.
Not my money, because that would I would be like, girl, I ain't successful.
I'd be sad out here in these streets.
The more money you make, yes. The more money you make, the more you spend. But success to me really is if you're doing something you set out to do and you did it and you're doing it well, success.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love it. What's the best advice you've ever received or piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
Damn, I'm always the advisor. Can you tell me what's the worst advice? Can I give you what's the worst advice?
Sure. I like that. Let's put a spin on it.
The advice I ever received was, damn, there's so many of those too. But the worst advice, two things. Worst advice, one of the worst advice I ever received was marry someone that loved you more than you loved them, but they didn't tell me that I should love them too. that did not work, honey. And the other advice that I've received that was not a good advice was, if you don't have money, don't start a project. And it was just like, why? Because it makes sense, right? You don't have capital, don't start a project.
Yeah, don't put yourself in the hole.
But I do it because you don't always have to have money to start. You just have to have faith.
I love that. Oh my gosh, the first one got me because I always hear that all the time. Make sure you deal with somebody that loves you more than you love them, type of thing.
But I married that brother. I was mad. Back in the day, we used to have this yellow book. They had, I don't know if you
I remember the yellow books, white pages, all that stuff.
Yes. Okay. And the attorneys used to, what they do is they would promote their business and put the word divorce. And I used to open it up on that little table that comes in, you know, like the wall table, the hall table, console. There was a console, and I would stand it up. So when my ex-husband would walk in, and that's the first thing he would see. It's a divorce. I was so miserable because he was like, around me. And I was just like, I don't think I was. And it ruined him. It ruined him. He's okay now, but I did send a man to church, like, I made him be turned into a minister and all that, because I was like, oh my God. But you really, really, if you could see yourself with that man for the rest of your life, and he makes you feel good from within, and you can see the beauty within him, and that he makes you want, and there's a support system, and there's that security, that person is a good person to have in your life. And then if it morphs into a marriage, that's great. But it feels different when it feels secure. You don't have, and as long as you're not broken, because if you're broken, you're never going to be happy, because you can't fix yourself. How are you going to have somebody else fix you? Because half the time somebody else is broken too, and you drain in their little broken self to add to yours, and then you're miserable, you know? And that goes both ways. They say misery love company, but sometimes we put too much on somebody else because we don't realize where our flaws are.
Mm-hmm.
But in a marriage, or just, you know, I got engaged 4 times after that, but I wasn't looking to be married. I would need a stability, and they was willing to take care of me because I needed help.
Survival.
Like, you get a ring, you get a title. Okay. And then as soon as they talk about, I mean, I knew I had a timeline. As soon as I was like, you know, this ain't working out.
The Chronicles of Milan.
You know, Hell, why not? But now that I'm healed, I'm recovered.
Recovered, delivered.
No, I'm recovered. I'm no longer.
That's funny.
I mean, you just enjoy life. Don't put no expectations on things. It's just what's gonna be is gonna be, and you know it. But just don't be afraid, and be wise. Be as wise as you can be. And if you don't know it, ask somebody that you can trust. And hang around with somebody who's living the lifestyle that you want. Because somebody's going to say, if they're willing to be truthful.
That part, yes. The next one that I have for you, what advice would you give to another, let's see, another salon owner right now who is just not seeing the results that they want in their business and they're just ready to close up shop?
There's so many layers to that. They have to know if they are, if they have the right team supporting them, or are they a good manager? Check to see, really, like, ask your staff, what can they do, or what can you do? You know what I'm saying? A lot of the failure has to do with the person on top, because it's who you hire, how you market, your location, and your energy. So you have to check yourself first. But you have to hire people that are like-minded and that respects you, and you have to respect them, and then allow people to shine. So if you are a more of a person who looks at an individual from 50 and lower, that means you're a type of employer or manager that needs people to idle you. They're the ones who will stick with you for a long time, but you always will have to carry the weight. But if you're dealing with people from that 51% to 100, you have to maximize those talents, because they will be with you and your company grow faster. You have to identify what type of manager or owner you are. Are you a magnifier, or do you need people to be under you? And that will determine how your success is, to some degree, because that's your hiring part. Because if you don't have your team, you can't move forward,
Nice advice. I love it. What is a resource that helps you or has helped you in your business that you can share with the Friends and Beauty community?
The MCAs. I wouldn't recommend it to nobody though, because
What's the MCAs?
MCA is market cash advances. That's what helped me in my business, because when the girl didn't have no money, I couldn't walk into the bank. They were like, "I told you my credit wasn't good." So, no, honestly, what's helped me is, again, learning what you need in your business. You have your team is one thing, but you need to have a good accountant. You need to have good management. You need to have someone who really can help take you to the next level. So you do really need a team. Like when I came here, I went from a mom and pop structure to a whole different ball game. Just because I expanded my stations, you have to expand the level of doing business. I am no longer a mom and pop. I'm a straight business, like business, but this is business with issues, like businesses, attorneys, a contract attorneys, accountant, bookkeeping, all types of stuff, So having the right people to put you in position, is helping me gear myself and getting my credit, getting the structure, so at some point I can literally walk into the bank and have all my documentation. So knowledge, and I definitely recommend, if you don't have that, go to a lot of business building seminars. If you don't walk away with anything but one little detail that you're not doing, or something you didn't know about, you just gained yourself a lot of knowledge to prevent some things to take place, or prevent something that can happen, or just know what to do, or what you need. But we don't know what we don't have until we come across it and realize we don't have it and we didn't know it. Damn, that was good. I need that on a t-shirt.
You gonna remember what you said? Yes, I love it. For the last one, I love that advice, but the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, and the key to longevity and success is whatever you think it is personally.
So my name is Milan J, and the key to success and longevity really has to deal with your passion.
Your passion. I love it. Because I could tell just, I was literally, when you were talking earlier about the hair and stuff, I was like, I could really feel like how passionate you are about this, just how you could just share the information like that. I'm like, she's really passionate about what she does, and it really shows. So passion it is.
Yeah, passion it is. It's in you, so you'd have to birth it, you know. Mm-hmm. You're dormant, guess what? That's operating in fear and doubt. So you're not gonna succeed. You're not gonna be, you know, you have these singers. How many singers are so afraid and they can blow? And right. It's like,
you have anxiety and all that.
So, but you're passionate and you're in love with what you do, but you're miserable, you know? And then when you step out, you just came out of a box and this was like a butterfly just flying around, you know? So it's, I think that is the key to success and longevity. Be passionate about what you do. It don't look for financial success. Just be passionate and then find joy in it. And that's success. And guess what? If you get paid behind that, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. If money is your success, then, you know, you can make that doing absolutely nothing. I mean, anything. You can lay in the bed and be, what they call them people?
It's so much fans. People that get paid for doing absolutely nothing.
OnlyFans, is that what it is?
OnlyFans.
They make the money. That's their passion. They're passionate about their body or their little gifts. But but I'm just saying, whatever it is you do, be passionate about it. Be passionate.
Absolutely. Well, before you go, please share like your social media, website, however you want people to connect with you and continue to follow your journey.
I normally have the social media team at the time. I believe it's Tribella Inc. Hair. I don't know. Can I send it to you later? You just
all right, Tribella Hair. I'm gonna link it down below, y'all. I got y'all.
I don't promote that, I'll be like, I'll be on there though, but I watch it. Sorry.
So silly. Well, thank you so much, Milan, for talking to us today. Learned so much.
All right, love. Talk to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.